In Western Australia, the Premier Mark McGowan is warning that more homes could be lost as the bushfires continue to burn out of control in the Perth Hills northeast of the city. More than 70 homes have been confirmed destroyed over the past 3 days. Ken Wyatt is the federal member for the seat of Hasluck, which includes much of the fire-affected areas. He's in Canberra for this parliamentary sitting week. Ken Wyatt, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
It's still early in the morning in Perth, but I wonder if you've had any updated information on how the firefighters have fared overnight.
Only from what I've seen on media coverage. Look, it's a challenging task given the terrain and given that we've had good winter rain, so there's a lot of undergrowth in particularly grasses, so embers flying ahead of the fire and creating those spot fires is problematic. It'll be a challenge, and those winds, because I live in the hills, those winds, when they gust, they really swirl. And amongst the trees, I've got a pool and I take 7 scoopfuls of leaves out every morning when we have strong winds. So when you've got a fire with that type of behaviour, then you're certainly seeing charred leaves and embers flying forward.
Yeah, the State's Department of Fire and Emergency Services says the winds were giving them major grief overnight and that it was not looking good overnight. Have you spoken to any of your constituents whose homes and memories have gone up in flame? Have you been in contact with people in the electorate?
I have, and I've been in contact with Kevin Bailey, the Mayor of the City of Swan, and with John Dore, who's the Shire President, and Kevin has kept me briefed. I have spoken to a couple of individuals, because when you hold a seat for 11 years, you get to know people. And I see many of these people at events. I go to the Gidjiganup show. And so you know the area. You know how hard they've worked. And you have an understanding of what they've lost when you look at those images of houses totally gone.
You know some of the firefighters too, I imagine. And the Deputy Commissioner said that firefighters have suffered minor burns. Crews are being brought in from around the state to help out. I think there were 300 at work overnight. Does WA have enough firefighting resources to tackle this?
I think, well, they certainly do, but the thing that is more concerning would be the level of fatigue. And bringing in firefighters from the regions is going to give them some relief. Should it get worse, that I know that other states and territories will provide volunteers, because, as we did for the eastern states fires. But it's making sure that the support services for dislocated families, we've then got to think about where a home has been totally destroyed. And I had a story conveyed to me of a man who walked in with horse feed. I was described as standing there, put the two buckets down, and then they described his eyes glazing over, and then he just said, "All I've got is what I'm standing in. I've lost everything." So you're getting those personal stories. So when I get back on Friday, I'm going with the Mayor of the City of Swan out to meet some of our constituents and see what we can do.
And are you campaigning for more federal help for these people?
Look, the federal help has been tremendous. The ADF is providing ground transport to move firefighters from a staging area to the fire front. RAF Pearce Air Base is being used. And then we had a briefing yesterday with the Prime Minister on where the fire is, what the possible trajectory of winds were. The fire retardant that's come from the east, it will be in WA on Friday, so that adds an additional stop to help fight those fires. So the Commonwealth support, and then the Prime Minister's been talking daily with Mark McGowan as Premier. I had a discussion with Fran Logan and said to him that I'm happy to help in any way that I can, even though it's a state responsibility.
Okay. The Perth residents, of course, are not only fighting fires this week. The COVID lockdown has added another major challenge. It's due to end on Friday. The lockdown was imposed because of a COVID case linked again to security and hotel quarantine. After 10 months of no community transmission in WA, was Perth in the end just too complacent? There's, you know, been a lot of breaches, but this one, there was a lot of protocols that weren't in place.
Look, I think because of the closed borders, there was a Certainly there was a strong awareness of COVID-19, but because our lifestyle is about socialisation and having open areas, etc., people did become complacent in terms of handshaking and not keeping social distance. But this has been a poignant reminder that COVID-19 can transfer fairly quickly, and given it's the United Kingdom strain, then that makes it more challenging. And I've not heard very many people complain about having to go into the 5-day lockdown. There was an acceptance that this was a necessary step in order to prevent the spread of the contagion and to preserve the quality of life that we've enjoyed in a way that our colleagues in New South Wales and certainly Victoria didn't experience.
Can I ask you on another matter, in terms of your Liberal Party colleague, Craig Kelly, do you support the Prime Minister hauling him in for a dressing down, telling him to stop spreading misinformation about, you know, treatments for the vaccine? And do you think the Prime Minister took too long to do that?
Look, I think the Prime Minister chose a time in which it was appropriate to tackle that issue. The Prime Minister, in all of my experiences with working with Scott Morrison, is if he has a concern, he'll have a preliminary discussion with you. And if you continue on a pathway that's not appropriate, then he has no qualm in calling you out and reminding you of your obligations and responsibilities. And his statement in the chamber yesterday reflected that. We have health experts who know what they're talking about, who provide very salient advice to the Commonwealth and state and territories. And they're highly skilled, knowledgeable people with the expertise within the fields of health. So that's whose advice we're taking.
And as the Minister of Indigenous Affairs, you'd be acutely aware of the health risks posed by the virus, especially to vulnerable people in remote areas. How much damage has Craig Kelly done at the time the government's rolling out the $24 million advertising campaign encouraging people to get the vaccine?
I don't think that that'll be an issue, because there's been a continuity of messages from the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisations. Certainly we continue, and my agency, the National Indigenous Australians Agency, keeps reminding people. Because initially, one of the problems we had, Fred, and I say this with confidence, because one of the problems we had initially was some communities were saying this is a white person's disease.
Yeah.
And the messages then was, no, it's not. It's a virus that will affect you. And communities have been very resilient in responding to what's required. And I know sure. Indigenous Australians I've spoken to are more than happy to have the vaccine, and they're keen for it.
Okay. On another issue this week, we saw that damning review of Collingwood Football Club's handling of allegations of racism. The club was accused of endemic racism, in fact. Is Eddie Maguire the best person to drive the change that's clearly needed, been identified as needed in Collingwood?
Look, I think it's more of a board. I know Eddie is still there. My personal view would be not to remove Eddie. Because
why?
Eddie is still a man of influence in a broader arena.
But has his influence been a positive one there? He's been in charge of the club for a long time now.
Well, I've read the report. I've been given a copy of the report, and I've read it. And it does point to systemic practices. Now, to undo systemic practices, you need to take people through a learning process. I would rather see, on a personal basis, Eddie go through that systemic practice learning process so that wherever he ends up in his lifetime, then he's in a position to say, look, when I was at Collingwood, this was not appropriate.
Right.
And you really need the learnings in order to change behaviour. And we've seen Eddie do some foot-in-the-mouth stuff that has been highly offensive, particularly around a couple of incidents with Adam Goods.
Yeah, sure have. Ken White, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, friend.